content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in,
thank you so much for, number one, tuning in, and number two, supporting Spiritually Raw's mission. We're on a mission to wake up as many people worldwide to help them on their path to spiritual freedom and global peace. And if you like this video and all our other videos, please help us spread the message and give us a thumbs up, share, and please comment and also subscribe. It helps other people to get to see the video as well. We're so grateful for those of you who are joining and becoming members also of our Patreon channel and becoming a part of this great global movement away from the programming and towards personal enlightenment. We invite you to access our private community and our exclusive Spiritually Raw content at patreon.com/spirituallyraw. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, all you have to do is go to spirituallyraw.com and fill out the guest questionnaire. And if you can see, we have one of our little dogs in the corner here.
Our mascot.
Because she will not get down, and it'll be up and down, up and down. So I just put her on the chair, and that's where she's at.
And for those of our followers, you also noticed today that April was actually taking my gig, and that's I'm the one who usually
I does actually kind of liked it.
So I'm going to try what she does here. So
I think we should switch roles.
I don't know. Let's find out.
We'll
maybe a horrible. I don't know.
Maybe I don't know.
I feel like suicide right now. Oh my gosh, horrible.
Jay, who's our guest today?
Oh, this is what I say to you, right? So, hey, everybody, we have Frances Cahill with us. She's a public speaking coach and has been a performer for over 50 years. Your pitch program
it's
has been discovered by hundreds of business owners, academics, and students, product. Confident, authentic, and satisfying deliveries every time they go to speak. Polish Your Pitch, not Polish, presents easy-to-learn techniques tailored to boost your confidence, speak well in public, and stand out from the crowd. Okay, this is where I say, welcome to
Spiritually Raw, Frances. Thank you for tuning in and joining us today.
Frances is like, why do I got to be the guinea pig?
This was on the fly. So Jane is
like, why do I have to be the guinea pig? This is going to be great. They're going to love you. So I'm going to start off with some questions if I can. So why do people fear public speaking? I mean, is it something that's been programmed in their mind that they instinctively fear that?
It's really interesting. And thank you so much for the opportunity to talk. I'm a talker. it is really interesting. Of all the people that I've worked with, probably 95%, the reason that they've got a fear in adulthood is something that's happened in primary school when they're really young. Most of the cases, people, it's sort of like your year five, your oral presentation, in geography, and you freeze and you just can't manage it. Another, asking a girl out to date, out for a date. Uh-huh. I froze. I couldn't do anything. And that memory stays in the person's mind and body. It stays.
Wow.
And that memory, that sense of rigid fear continues. So that any time they're getting up to speak, their mind says, hey, so this is something to be frightened of. Is it hardwired? I don't think so. But it can be the way that we bring up our kids. I have a lot of people saying, oh, yes, I'd like you to speak to Caroline. She's shy. Well, Caroline comes to see me and she's already got that label of she's shy. So is it hardwired? I don't think so. But we can very easily influence someone to become fearful just by what we say and how we prepare them for speaking when they're little.
So when you say primary school, and I just want to just put this in perspective for our United States audiences, that's the same as grade school, right? Like our
the first 5-6 years of schooling.
The first 5-6 years of school. So then moving past that a bit. So when these children are, let's say, called shy, is it that?
Yes.
Do you feel like these teachers or somebody, are they giving them like or their parents, whoever their caregiver at that time, are they giving them like an embedded command that is being ingrained in their mind that all of a sudden, well, I am shy and this I'm supposed to react? And what would be the reverse of that they should be saying to them, in your opinion?
In my opinion, there are people who like to speak and there are people who don't like to speak. That's certainly a valid choice to make. But if you have always been told in your head you become shy, that means you will be responding in a certain way. In terms of what we can do to shift that is allow people to be who they are. In my work, I give people the skills to be able to speak if they want to or if they need to, not the idea that you must speak. Shy people have this thing of, I've got to speak even if I don't want to. So to me, it's shyness and confidence are two parts of the same.
So is it making the matter worse? Does it make the matter worse if you are forcing or trying to get a shy person to constantly speak or speak up or communicate?
Yes. Without preparation, yes. I mean, shy people are going to have to speak at some stage, aren't they? You know, whether it's, could I have a loaf of bread, please? But in terms of forcing someone saying, you can do this or you must do this, to me, that's just adding pain. It's adding to the wound. Someone is, rigidly fearful of something and people say, I'll just get over it and do it.
Right.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Do you think a lot of that comes from... maybe some sort of past life that they could they come with that?
Are they carrying it over?
And is that something that you believe?
Probably that's outside of my belief system. Mm-hmm. I do think that every time we're on Earth, we are responding to our current circumstances. And if those circumstances are here for us to have something new to learn, okay. I'm not sure. I think that's... maybe there's influences, but I don't necessarily think that we can fall back on that as saying, oh, that's what I've done in the past, so I don't need to do anything about it.
So what are the...
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, thank you. What steps would you suggest for parents that have a child that they're feeling like suppressed speaking skills? What suggestions would you have that would help open up the child instead of clamming them back up or making them matter worse?
The first thing is stop introducing your child as shy. Mm-hmm. Stop saying, don't be shy. That's the bottom line. Don't do that. Tick. Another is saying, letting the child be themselves. If they aren't a talker, that's okay. But if they desperately want to be a speaker, my best advice is find a drama school that teaches self-development and communication skills.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I was, in my previous life, in my professional career, I was a principal of a drama academy. And the difference that these little kids, that you can see in the little kids when they come into a lesson, and the lesson wasn't saying, you're a shy person, we're going to make you non-shy. It was, let's come and let's have some fun, let's make some noises, let's move our bodies, let's claim ourselves in our environment. And we had so much fun. I mean, I love jumping around like a frog and croaking and, to me, drama, and as a special thing for the kid, a drama class.
What makes you want to do this? What drives you to do this? I mean, just really put yourself out there and be like, this is what I got to talk about here.
Yep. What drives me? I suppose being a person who's quite sensitive to social environments, and I can see people struggling and I start to feel pain for them. Mm. I do this because I know that everyone, given the right set of support and structure and things, can speak. And, you know, when I deal with my clients, what spurs me on is seeing the light in their eyes where I know that they're getting it, that you can do this and you are special and you are unique and what you have to say is really important just because it's uniquely you. And that is where I get my buzz, is eye to eye, and doing a Zoom with you is making it really hard because I can't see your eyes. But in terms of what makes me do it is, thank you. That's much better.
Okay, I can only stay like this for a second. It's really weird. All right. Oh, my gosh.
So what drives me is knowing that I can help someone step into a circle of truth and be confident about where they are and what they want to say, when they need to say it.
So what makes your program better than everybody else's? What's your secret sauce?
My secret sauce, I have 6 steps that I've developed over a very long period of time. So that's quite structured. The thing that I hold above a lot of other people is that I focus on the person, and my best clients, I suppose, the people that I feel the most comfortable with, are the ones who are actually fearful. And my secret sauce is, and I've got it on a happy little card, 10 top tips for anxiety busters.
Oh, great. Let's go through them.
Okay.
Love to.
You can use 1 to 10, and we can go through them in a moment, but the whole idea is that fear is a spiral. If we're, as I said, a person is having had this fear experience in their childhood, has this preset of fear approaching a speaking engagement or an event of some sort. Once we get into that stage, the fear keeps spiraling, and you open your mouth and it gets and you're responding to that fear. So my anxiety busters, and they're based on sociolinguistic principles and, you know, a whole bunch of other things, interrupts that fear spiral just for a minute, or just for a second is all that needs. Because if you don't interrupt it, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you become rigid and speaking rubbish, or nothing comes out of your mouth.
Mm.
Very bad, because you're reinforcing that whole fear, the fear spiral. You're reinforcing it and making it even deeper. So each of those anxiety-busting tips stops it for a moment, gives you a chance to re-engage with why you're there or what you're doing. And as I say, the preparation that we go through is, what's your message that you want to say? Who is your audience? What role are you playing? We look at vocal production, we look at body stance, all of those things. We rehearse it, we write the speech or pitch, whatever it is, and then we rehearse it. So all of those things happen. But for me, one of the major, as you say, my secret sauce is focusing on interrupting the fear spiral.
Okay.
Mm. Can you hold that thought for us? Because we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back, everybody. Hang tight, more with Frances.
Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today.
Welcome back, everybody, to Spiritually Raw. We are with the lovely Frances Cahill. She's a public speaking coach, and she's also the founder of Polish Your Pitch, Jay. What is she the founder of?
Polish Your Pitch.
Very good. And just real quick, everybody, if you're liking the video, please give us a thumbs up and leave a comment, share the video. So, Frances, you were taking us back to your little secret weapon of 10 busters, fear busters.
Yep. Anxiety fear busters. That's yep. It.
Okay, let it rip, girl.
Okay, number one, count backwards from 100 in sevens.
Count.
What's your first thought?
Wow.
93. My math.
Yes.
84.
Six, but it doesn't matter.
Six. My gosh, I guess I could see. Okay, so that one worked.
That one works. Oh, could you be thinking about fear while you're doing that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay. Number 9, warming up your voice. You know how you see in the movies where actors are going, me, 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 ma, la, la. It's very important.
Oh.
This is part of your instrument of when you are delivering something. So warming up your voice, and also, now this will look very weird, so I'm glad we're on radio at the moment, is ensuring that you give all of your mouth full exercises when you are speaking. So that when you are speaking, and particularly, that's it, excellent.
When by the way, this is recorded on video right now too, so.
Excellent. Good, good, good. It's really important, and particularly, even though we both speak English, there is often times when Australians can't be understood because of our accents. There are certain areas of the States where you have to listen a bit harder. So the idea is, with your voice, you've warmed up your voice box, you've exercised the muscles in your mouth so that when you're delivering speech, it is, you're not mechanically, it's not being impeded.
Right, like you're warming it up, like an engine.
Yes, absolutely true.
Okay, got it.
Absolutely
true. Makes a lot of sense.
So I see where these steps are going. So they're all about breaking the thought pattern, right?
Yep.
They're all about breaking the thought pattern in that moment.
Got a question, though. Yeah. You're working back from 10, 9, 8, right? So is it the first one that we do, the number 10, which was the counting back?
You can do all of them. You can do all of them. Okay. I have a list of 10. Okay. Number one is my personal development. So, I've made this. It's called the Ninja. I'll get to that. But any of those can be useful. But all of them are meant to be available to you to choose one or two to break the fear spiral and to enhance your performance by breaking that spiral.
Okay, so I have to ask you this. So is anxiety in itself, okay, so
yep.
You believe that it really is more of a, not so much, what's the word I'm looking for here? So
mental?
Yeah, so do you believe it really is more of a cycle, like not so much a psychological, but psychosomatic kind of, I don't know if that's the right phrase.
Psychological.
Yeah, like, I think it is, it's the body remembering something, the body and mind remembering something, whatever label we put on it, it's the body and the mind remembering an event of fear in the past. And then, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of theory that's involved with this. Bringing that fear into the present means you are anticipating a dangerous situation. You know that whole fear, flight, you know, fight or fright thingo, that response that we have.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. That for some people, sadly, speaking in public is seen as a dangerous situation. So they remember that fear response from the past, bring it into the present, and are reacting with fear to an anticipated event, an anticipated dangerous event.
Got it.
So when
does that make sense?
It does.
Very much
completely
so.
Does. So when they're going into this anticipated dangerous event, yeah? So they go there. Do you, I mean, for audience listening in, would that first step, what would you recommend they do? So if they're going
into
this.
Well, she's still on the 8.
Well, she said, we're getting...
No, I want to hear all 8.
You want to go to say
yeah. Keep going, Francis.
We'll go quickly through them. And this is... As I said, these are the fear busters. These are the anxiety busters. But there's a whole bunch of other preparation that needs to have happened as well. But so these are specifically the fear busters. If you have to quickly speak and you're going, these are things you can do immediately. Mm-hmm. Come and see me if you want to do other stuff, but this is for the fear. Number 8 is very simple. As you're walking or as you're standing, I call it ground. You feel the floor under your feet. To shift your thoughts from here down to your feet.
I like that. That's good.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And take a breath.
Yep.
And take a breath, because that's number 7. Breathe. Breathe in for 3. Hold it for 2, out for 3. And concentrate on the breath, not outside. You're bringing the fear and saying, nope, break it. I'll breathe now. You can't be frightened and thinking about your breathing at the same time.
Good.
Number 6, and this is, I call this the talisman. It's some sort of physical object, whether it's a bangle, probably not your earrings because that... or anything on your face, because that is distracting for, you know, anyone watching you. But a talisman can be a ring that you physically touch. It can be a bracelet. Anything that shifts your mind away from the the panic, a talisman. Just touch it and bring your thoughts back into the talisman. A pen, anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And say, I can do this. Any way that you're affirming that you, there's no need to be frightened.
Like
and
it.
Just, that's numbers.
Mm, right.
Yes, good. You're not, I'm not frightened.
No, I like it. Yeah.
Number five is imagine. Now, this one is a little bit more complex, I guess, in that you imagine you yourself delivering the speech well.
Right.
Stepping up to speak, and for 2 or 3 seconds, I'm saying this very well. You imagine the sound of your voice that you've already given yourself, that it's, imagine it, but it's being delivered well.
Excellent.
That one's a bit more complex, but you can't be frightened when you're thinking about how you could not be, you know, all we're doing is interrupting that fear.
Right. I like
that.
Notice
she's talking to you.
I can see very clearly.
Yes,
I see.
I got it.
I can't see your eyes, though.
I got it.
High five.
I hate public.
Number four. Now, this one I ask people to use sparingly, and that's a smell.
Hmm.
Put a favourite perfume or an aftershave on before you're getting ready and have that, and hopefully that smell will be something that will generate good feelings.
That's a good idea.
So you go, I put on my favorite.
Yeah.
If you aren't able to do that, and in some cases, you know, people are allergic, et cetera, et cetera, the whole thing is then is to remember a smell.
Hmm.
Remember a smell.
Remember.
The smell, the sense of smell is the strongest in terms of evoking memories. The strongest. I mean, I can smell a dried orange peel, and it immediately transports me back to my primary school days, my grade school days, where we used to put all our suitcases, you know, our school cases.
Yeah.
Immediately, if I smell dry, it's very powerful. So if you either have a favourite perfume or aftershave, or you want to remember that favourite perfume, you're breaking this fear. You're breaking the fear spiral.
Hmm.
So that's number four. Number three is smile. Put on your Milton or Mona Lisa smile. That's it. Your brain doesn't know the difference. Put a smile on. Even if you feel like you're looking like a lunatic, that's okay, because your brain doesn't know that you actually, so just smile.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll lean into the smile afterwards, okay? Number two is stance. Now, I don't know whether I can do this. Yeah, I'll do it sitting down. There is research that actually says that holding your body a certain way changes the hormonal balance. Okay, now I'm not making this up. This is truly researched, and it's called the superhero stance.
Okay,
what you're doing? If I was standing up, you'd see me putting my hands on my hips with my elbows out, pulling myself up into a straight, and just say your name, Francis Carl. You just say it with more power. If you can do that for a minute or two prior to coming up to speak, you have a different hormonal balance in your body, and it is going to interrupt the fear. Go on, show me. Hands on hips.
Move, doggy.
That's it. Hands on hips, elbows out.
April Matta.
Shoulders back.
How's that?
What's your name?
April Matta.
That's my girl.
Give her more than that. Have her like stand on her full foot or something.
And number one, I know, because April wants to get to number one. Number one, it's also difficult for me to show standing up, but it's involving what we'll call, as a theatrical technique, is diaphragmatic breathing.
Hmm.
And I stand up with my knees bent, my elbows into my waist, palms facing upwards, and delivering a diaphragmatic breath push. So it's comes right from your belly.
Like that, right?
That's it. One more.
I
can guarantee that you cannot be fearful or anxious while you're performing that move.
Huh. All right.
Wow. Excellent.
And it's one of the best things I can get is 30 people standing up doing that in front of me, with me. I love it.
Wow.
So if we spend an hour together, that's the best thing. I get my kicks in the same place.
I can honestly say all of your techniques, I would say at least 8 of them I have not heard before, or you haven't tried at least, or haven't even heard, like with the feet on the ground, because it's making you more grounded. That's something you could do anywhere, sitting.
Absolutely right.
That you could do immediately. And just connecting that makes you more grounded. So I love it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Wow, Francis. That's good stuff. Thank you. So that is Francis Cahill, everybody. Public speaking coach. And you can definitely polish your delivery by connecting with her.
Maybe you're supposed to go like this. Public speaking coach.
But she is going to tell you how you can get a hold of her, yes?
Yes. You can contact me on my website, www.francisclowd.com.au. You can contact me on Facebook under Polish Your Pitch. I also have an Instagram account, Francis Carr. Twitter, @FranSmoothSpeak. That's about all. Send me a line. I'd love to talk to you about how we can make you the best and powerful speaker that you've ever seen.
I believe you 100%. I think if anybody can pull it off, it's definitely you.
I'm sold on you, lady.
Yeah,
I really am.
Yeah.
I really am.
I love it.
Yep. And I think the dog.
You say that to all the public speaking coaches you've met today.
I did. I said the last 8 of them that were just on here too. But I like you. You're my favorite.
So far, you're number one, though.
We got a great opportunity to get to know you. God, thank you for the exercises that you put us through. So we'll practice those there. But that was good stuff there. So Brad Scale, everybody, check her out. Yeah, a good time. I hope you enjoyed it because we did on this end.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.